I believe God is going to do something great here. You know that song, fill me with your spirit, fill your lambs. You know, in order to be filled, this is key, you have to be emptied. And you know, God prompted me to say, hey, whatever you brought with you this morning, leave it here. I'm dead serious about that. I mean, we're carrying stuff. And you can use whatever, is it adjective? We're carrying stuff. It's our nature. And God wants us to let it go. Let me pray. And then we'll get going because, you know, I'm ready to worship all day, but I want to respect our time. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 2, should be becoming familiar. If you have your phone, draw that up, Ephesians chapter 2. And as you're finding or searching, let me pray. Father, you know, something's going on great here in this tent. And so the adversary is sending plenty of distraction. So I pray that you would make our minds attentive to you, that there would be no distraction, that the flies wouldn't be a distraction, that the heat wouldn't be a distraction, that airplanes wouldn't be a distraction, that motorcycles wouldn't be a distraction, that we would be hyper-focused on you. God, I pray that your spirit would move in a mighty and powerful way, that you would be able to do the work that you have planned for us, so that we can do the work you have planned for us. So we give you the praise in advance for what's going to take place through this service, and I pray that it is great for your kingdom. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're familiar with Ephesians, I mean, it's a great book. It's a teaching book, and it's a book we can learn from. But Ephesians chapter 2, this passage brings to our attention what we used to be like, how we used to live B.C., before Christ. I mean, we are born dead, spiritually speaking. And then we encounter Christ and we are born again. We're made alive, spiritually speaking. Also in this chapter, we see what God did through his grace to change us. He did the work. Look, salvation works from the inside out. Starting to go to church, starting to read your Bible, starting to be a good person, is not how salvation works. There are all the benefits of being saved. You start to come to church, you start to read your Bible, you start to be good to people because of the work Christ is doing in us. And it is vividly clear in this sanctuary how God is moving and working in individual lives. We're focusing on the spiritual gifts. And you're going to see that it's all about the body. We learned last week that Christ is the head. And when we keep him at the top of things, we're going to do well. Listen as I read Ephesians chapter 2. I think there's 10 verses because I'm going to read them all. As for you, James, as for you, fill in your name, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's where we were. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions and sin, it is by grace you have been saved. Have you encountered Christ? Are you saved? Say amen. And it is evident. What Paul is saying is, God took us from our sinful state and the pending wrath of God, which Jesus himself did not survive. Understand that. He saved us, created us in Christ Jesus a new heart, a new core of our being. For what? To do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Church, we're doing it. We're carrying each other's burdens. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, every one of you, I think, I've seen helping someone else. We have an opportunity to help Shirley. She is. She's over. She wants to do, and she just can't. It's frustrating. She has no pain. She just can't do. And she's frustrated. And she's a female. That's a male thing. So we need to reach out to her. Or at least, from the comfort of your sofa or your bed or your kitchen table, pray for her so that she doesn't get trapped in the depression. You know, we looked at last week that we were each created for something that's designed for us to do. Some to sing, some to preach, some to pray, some to encourage, some to understand. We all have different gifts that are to support the body. But what we have to know is that God saved us to serve. We're on mission. Do you know your mission? Because God continues to reveal my mission every morning when He gives me a breath. And then I'm just like celebrating Christmas as I go through the day. And at the end of the day, or the end of the year, we say, thank you, Lord, that you kept me healthy. I had a good year. We'll celebrate the life of Robert. That he recognizes that through all this stuff this world threw at us, he has something to be thankful for. God has saved us to serve, and He plans to use everyone that makes themselves available. Are you willing to serve the Lord at all costs? If it's inconvenient, or if you're tired. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 shares valuable information that we need to know if we're going to effectively serve God. Listen to these words. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, because of this, honor God with your bodies. This is not mine. It's on loan. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross purchased you and me. We are not our own. And we have a mandate. We have a command to serve the Lord. No true follower of Christ can just sit idly by and not serve God. They have already been blessed with a personality. Each one of us is unique. There's no two alike. Even an identical twin has something different. God created us with a skill set and an ability to be used of God for His glory. That's pretty monumental. The God of the universe wants to use a piece of dirt like me. Because that's what we are. And He will use us effectively. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You have been uniquely given a gift, and it's a special gift just for you. My gift won't fit you. Your gift won't fit me. And we're to use it. God intends you and I to exercise them so that they impact the people around us. We make a difference in the world God has placed us in. God's the one who has created us. He's given us each a special gift that we're to put to work. Here's the question. Do you know your gift? Mine is definitely eating good food and talking about God. And maybe exhorting. I'm not so sure about teaching. Certainly serving and helping. These are all part of the list that we're going to look at, that we have looked at. But do you know your gift? And are you willing to use that gift not for accolades, not to be seen, but to bring honor and glory to God? 1 Peter 4:11 continues, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. I don't know who said it. It's not my message. God speaking through me. Amen. Because I have no idea where these words are landing. Each one of, I preach for 20 minutes, millions of words, a lot of sentences, a couple paragraphs. I never know where they're going to land. Out of this whole sermon, you're going to take one sentence, I hope. And it'll apply to your life, and you'll pick it up and you'll put it into practice. That's the work of God. I'm just a messenger. And I'm choosing to use,
I put it in the bag this time,
God's Word. It's the book that has the information. If anyone serves, this is still 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. If I stand up here in my own power, and I've been there, I fail miserably. But when I'm walking in His strength and His power, people are like, I don't know how it works. It's God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. If God has impacted you through last week's message or today's message, praise God. If Manweller, what's his name? If Ricky gets graduated, praise God. And if he doesn't, praise God, because he still has opportunity to come to Jesus if he doesn't know. And if you know Jesus and you have opportunity to talk to Ricky, you could change eternity. That's humbling. It's empowering. When we choose to live in a way that brings glory and honor to God, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit is there to empower us. He's the one that redirects our focus, renewing our mind, we talked about 2 weeks ago. God's Word says that the Holy Spirit is there to empower us. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another helper. Why did he say that? And we need help. Because he was leaving. Yeah, that's true. But I'm going to send another helper because you need help. When we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit has placed his seal on us. We're his. He's in you. He's in me, and he will strengthen us with our unique gifts to serve him. This begs the question. I always have a question. Why is it so difficult for people to serve the Lord? Well, for one thing, I believe they've given in to the lie. Satan's really good at deceiving us. The truth of the matter is, we listen to the voices in our head. Some people feel inadequate to serve God, thinking the Lord can never use somebody like me. It's a lie. I fall so short. That's the one I always go to. God can't use me because I got this. Good excuse. I'm not worthy. I'm not. If anyone is inadequate for being used of God, it would have to be, well, every Bible character in the book was unworthy. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. He persecuted the church. God used him mightily. Think of Peter. Peter, Peter, Peter. If somebody's looking, here I am. I'm a Peter. Peter wasn't a picture of perfection. He had a short temper. One time he pulled out his sword and cut a soldier's ear off. You know that story, maybe. And not too much after that, he denied he knew Christ. Mm-hmm. He had plenty of areas to clean up, including his language. Peter's the one that stood up to minister, and 3,000 people came to Christ. He was a chosen disciple of Jesus. He was Jesus' right-hand man. And he was used of God. These are two accounts of being broken and upside down that God uses powerfully. He uses me. And he will use you. How cool is that? That's cool. Satan's the one that is trying to make us think that no one is really adequate to serve God. Because if we're serving God, that's a problem. So he's going to interrupt that. He's going to send distractions. He's going to send the heat. We're going to be distracted, so everybody come back, come back. This is important. When you feel inadequate, here's the secret to life. Look to the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to love and serve God. It's not a natural ability. This is supernatural. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. When it comes to serving God, too many people focus on their weaknesses, saying, well, I'm still struggling in this area. So am I. I want to be used by God, but I'm feeling so guilty. Well, don't go. Store for the evil one. You're stuck in the trap of the lie. Jesus came to set the captives free. Take a lesson from Paul. He's quick to remind us that, listen, our weaknesses are opportunities to show his strength. I'm more than a conqueror through him, Jesus, who died for us. Own that. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he, that's the Lord, said to me, this is Paul speaking, and this is what the Lord said. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power can rest on me. Look, I'm a weakling. I got nothing, and God uses me. And he gets the praise and the glory that anything good happens under this tent is of him. Don't give me the credit. What is it? Don't put the pastor on the pedestal, so he falls off. Pray for him and lift him up. Thank you. I'm just some guy. The Bible says that we are God's workmanship. He formed us. It also indicates that it's an ongoing process. I'm not baked yet. I won't be done until I breathe my last. Just because we have not arrived at a sinless state of being doesn't mean we sit on the sidelines and not do anything. God wants to use us with our shortcomings. Look, if you knew me like my wife knows me, you'd be like, ah. Worse than that, if you knew me like Jesus knows me, don't compare yourself to me. Compare yourself to God. to Jesus. That's the litmus. Hebrews 12:14 tells us, make every effort to live at peace with everyone and be holy. And be holy. And be holy. Listen, this is God's word. Without holiness, no one will see God. You're deceived. Allowing sin to remain in our lives. Quenches the Spirit's power. Yeah. It deadens our spiritual sensitivity. And listen, it hinders our service to the Lord. God uses people with the right heart. So, what's the right motive here? Answers in the book. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Let your name be glorified through all that I do. I'm praising Jesus that he used me last week. Unbeknownst to me. And I'm trying desperately that won't go to my head. I'm a humble servant. But I'm a human humble servant. God wants to motivate you right now and use you for the rest of your life on this planet and the next. That's humbling. Think of this. Throughout the Bible, God used people who were sinful and weak. Did you ever read it? Cover to cover, useless. Humans. And God used them mightily. He used some who had failed miserably. He used some that, by the world standard, were useless. Jacob was a cheater. Read about it. Old Testament. It's a good read. David had an affair. Noah was drunk. Paul was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Gideon was insecure. Thomas was a doubter. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was short. Abraham was old. Lazarus, dead. God used them all. The list goes on. So the question is, what's your excuse? I'm too young. I'm too new to the faith. That's the ones that get used mightily.
I've been in the faith all my life.
And God uses you. What's keeping God from using you? Because honestly, the only answer is you. Because God wants to use us just the way we are. He's intended and intending to use us. What may be hindering you from accomplishing your dreams that God has given to you? You think you have your ideas? They come from God. He has a plan for our life to be successful. What makes you think that God can't use you? Because that's not of Him. That's the stuff that needs to be emptied to be filled. Do you want to be filled? Then empty yourself out. What is it with the oil? As long as there was an empty vessel, it was filled. That's why we come here on Sunday. We get filled up. And then we leak all over the place all week. And then we come back to church and we get filled up again. I don't know what your kind of glory looks like, but I know what it feels like. Spirit's here. He's moving mightily and powerfully. You guys are attentive. Or you're convicted. Thank you, Jesus. Because if you feel miserable right now, that is awesome. And if you really don't care one way or another, I'll pray for you. Let the Holy Spirit get a hold of you. God will use you if you simply make yourself available and obedient. So here you go. I'm giving you 3 minutes and 15 seconds. I know, because computers tell you. But we have a song, Bill, if you want to pull that up. Will you take time to meditate on the words of this song? And when prompted by the Holy Spirit, let go of whatever you brought here. Confess. Just allow the Spirit to move.